When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate you call on such lost creatures to defend you.
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea. Bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more. Like the battles that we never could.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Bruffett. How are we doing today, Chris?
Well, Jesse, it's a great day. It's nice and icy here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But it is great. LVO's wrapping up, and we're going to do kind of an LVO retrospective for you guys here in a week or two. Today, we're in Marvel Cosmic, baby.
Back in Marvel Cosmic. It's one of our favorite places to be in Marvel Universe. You guys should know that if you've been following us all these years on the show. It's a topic that's come up a lot, and this character's come up a lot in the last not even year of the game, Chris. This character came out in July, and he has been on a lot of discussions everywhere. For many reasons, and it started with his sculpt, and it's all the way now to him winning some championships.
That's a really great point. It did absolutely start with his sculpt, and it's never stopped.
Now, I think the upside of some of this, and some people might disagree, but this is kind of always me and Chris's take on this stuff, and I feel like this with Marvel and Star Wars both. Maybe a game company makes a character that people are less familiar with, right? And they get people to actually check out who this character is. Maybe even just do a quick Wikipedia search. Maybe not like what we do here on Fury's Finest. But regardless, it gets people more breadth of the Marvel universe, right? And I love that AMG does that. Because I think Cosmic Ghost Rider is one of the coolest designed characters in the last several years in Marvel. And I think they just wanted to explore that.
I think visually, I would 100% agree with you. Incredible looking character. And just to put a kind of point on everything you're saying here, Cosmic Ghost Rider was introduced into Marvel in the end of November 2017.
Only 2 years before our game came out.
So he's first introduced there, and then he's in MCP in 3, 4, 5 years later.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Because, I mean, his second appearance doesn't happen until December of 2017, you know, and now we're in 2018. So he might as well have only been around since 2018. It's just kind of insane.
I see what you're saying, because you're saying that's when he really got off the ground.
Right. Yeah. He just first appeared, like, first 2 months, there's not a, you know.
Yeah.
First couple issues, there's not a lot there. It's in Thanos. It's talking about Thanos. It's all about Thanos.
As a lot of things Marvel are, yeah, sometimes.
Well, especially Marvel Cosmic, especially right now. Since Annihilus is kind of on the shelf.
Yeah, Annihilus went on the shelf, and
that's fine.
That's totally fine. But Cosmic Ghost Rider, the design of this character is iconic. Even the concept that they chose a new Herald, you know, a new Ghost Rider itself.
Well, yeah, we'll get into the heraldry and how that comes about and why it comes about. But yeah, it's not just that. It's that through a lot of the Cosmic Ghost Rider stuff, it's Donny Cates writing.
That's right.
So we know he's kind of a wild boy, right?
Buckle up.
Yeah. Kind of a wild boy. So we get a lot of really crazy things in these Cosmic Ghost Rider stories and in these Cosmic Ghost Rider comics. You know, just as an example, just a throwaway character in the background that never says a word, only gets mentioned in a little editorial blurb or narrative blurb. There's a character that makes an appearance in these comics that is Howard the Duck crossed with the Juggernaut.
It's absolute insanity.
He's got the Gem of Sidorak. He is a massive, I mean, just bigger than Juggernaut ever has been. Just massive mm-hmm. Howard the Duck Juggernaut. And that's just kind of in the background. Not the most interesting thing.
That's just one like tiny on scene. One tiny scene. Yeah.
Donnie Cates is a weird guy.
I love like it. Him. He's a wild man. And I also think it's funny that a lot of the things you could apply to these Donnie Cates concepts we're talking about today with Cosmic Ghost Rider, like this just fantastic over-the-top design, this kind of like bombastic story moments that may or may not pay off, but they're exciting regardless. A lot of this is funny because it's completely congruent with something I'd reread recently, which is The King in Black, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think anyone can argue that Null's design is not striking, new, something it's massive awesome. In Marvel, right? Now, whether how the story resonated for you, that's a different story and varies from person to person. But without a doubt, it's like Cosmic Ghost Rider, King in Black, like the mark has been made, you know, at least stylistically, right? And then for you could kind of go from there. And a lot of those stylistic things do work and carry it really far. But I'm sure Chris will talk on some of the things that do or do not work today. But also, Cosmic Ghost Rider has been expanded since these early days. And we will be talking about that today as well. And most importantly of all, we will talk about Cosmic Ghost Rider and Marvel Crisis Protocol, because he's a character we've been wanting to get to for a while. He's been on the docket. We had some stuff to get through before then. You know, we thought it was important to jump back in the cosmic, and who better do it with the character that's showing up in a lot of places in the game right now?
Yeah, it's a little bit topical, you know, seeing as how, you know, LVO just happened. But, you know,
the irony is we've had it planned for months.
It's very, very true. But before we get into all this, Jesse, we've got to pay some bills. Fury's Finest is supported by Mr. Laser. Go to mr-laser.square.site for all your Marvel Crisis Protocol needs. And please use the discount code FURY5 to get go ahead and get your Mutant, your Wakanda pre-orders in. Save 5%. This lets Mr. Laser know that we sent you, so it helps you, helps us, helps him. It's good for everybody.
Absolutely. And we don't even know what's coming post Mutants and Wakanda, right? So when AMG announced the next pre-orders, Mr. Laser will have them up on his website that day, and you can start getting those.
Tight-lipped. They have not given much lately. So
it's because Adepticon's coming.
I know. The floodwaters are going to be rising soon. That levee's going to break.
We know those foes are on the horizon.
Oh, you know, I cannot wait for that.
We know like Scarlet Spider and Gwinnem are on the horizon. So it's like, and those are things we know, right? So, I mean, time will tell. So yeah, get your Mr. Laser pre-orders awesome. Done now. And also additionally, I will mention Mr. Laser does carry card sleeves now for Marvel Crisis Protocol and Star Wars Shatterpoint. So make sure Fantastic. You pick those up while you're there as well. Additionally, Fury's Finest is supported by iWarGame. iWarGame makes the best mark mats for MCP in the business, and we highly recommend checking them out at iWarGame.net. You can use the code FFPODCAST to get 10% off your orders. It means a lot to us because we love the iWarGame group here. We use their mats every time we get together for round robins and tournaments, and they've always got new mats that they're working on. New volumes coming out in the future. So make sure to get your mats from them and use our code, because once again, like Chris said, lets them know we sent you.
And of course, Fury's Finest is supported by our patrons. You can become a patron at patreon.com/Fury's Finest. We take this time every week to thank our absolutely incredible, wonderful, lovely patrons.
Absolutely. And we have a new patron to thank.
What? Get out of here.
Mike L. Thank you so much, Mike L.
Thanks, Mike. And of course, every week, the two that really bring it all home, the Avenger level producers, Rich and Sean, couldn't do it without you guys. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. You're keeping our lights on. And once again, special shout out to the Patreon, because, you know, this time of the year is always low patronage because of the winter and the holiday season stuff. So those of you guys that stick with us means a lot, because we've got some travel plans this year and stuff, and you guys are going to directly help us make those plans happen and get more content on the show, because we're going to be going places and covering those things. So because of you guys showing up, means a lot. And the Fury's Secret War League is in full swing, and the Painting Gallery is about to start a new season. So what are you waiting for? Jump on the Patreon Discord and get involved in those things.
It's time.
All right, Chris, let's get into cosmic Ghost Rider lore today. I'm very excited.
Well, he's an exciting guy, but who is he? There was a whole little to do. You know, they didn't reveal who Cosmic Ghost Rider was after the first appearance. And a lot of people were thinking it was going to be Deadpool, you know, given the wise cracking and the quipping.
Oh, you're saying, yeah. They didn't reveal.
Yeah, it took
who a, was it, the new.
They revealed the character, but they didn't reveal who was.
So smart.
Who was the Flaming Skull? You know?
So smart.
But of course, we all know now that it was Frank Castle all along.
Yeah, which is kind of exciting for us, Chris, because this is kind of a sequel to our Frank Castle episode. And
in a way,
I mean, in the sense of like, we're jumping to a different point in time with this character. And, you know, you've got that on the backlog. You can listen to our Frank Castle episode. And if you really want to enjoy this in a different, you know, different way, we've also done, of course, Johnny, regular Ghost Rider in the past, very early on the show's life cycle.
I love Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
This is a Frank Castle that has been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, has acquired these incredible powers, and pretty much seen the end of the universe happen. He's died several times, but it's all culminating in him kind of joining the 616 Marvel universe. And when he joins this universe, what superpowers does he kind of bring to the table? What's he got going on? Well, he's essentially Ghost Rider, guys. He's got all the Ghost Rider stuff, the strength, the hell bike, the penance stare, the chains, all of it. But he's been enhanced with the power cosmic bestowed upon him by none other than Galactus himself. It souped up his bike, souped up his stare, his strength. I mean, he's a high threat level in MCP, but you have to understand in the comic books, that high threat level is him holding back. That's him when he's just fighting against mortals and doesn't want to just destroy everything. He is capable of probably leveling a planet. Think Silver Surfer with the addition of the, you know, powers of this demon inside of him that is demanding justice and recompense and the elimination of evil. It's all quite scary, but since it's Donnie, it's, you know, fun and goofy. As I've mentioned a little earlier, Cosmic Ghost Rider is first going to show up in Thanos Volume 2, number 13, which released in November 2017. He's created by Donnie Cates and Jeff Shaw, but he's, of course, based on Frank Castle, the Punisher, who was created by Jerry Conway, John Romita Sr., and Ross Andrew. So it's time to get into the history. Let's talk origin story first. Cosmic Ghost Rider is going to come from an alternate timeline. It's based on the Marvel Prime universe, but sometime in the future, Thanos is going to get that gauntlet. You know, he's going to physically come to Earth and try to murder everyone. And during this, the ensuing battles and whatnot, Frank Castle is actually killed. He is killed by falling rubble that's coming from a building that Hulk is thrown into. And of course, when Hulk is thrown into a building, we all know that building is removed from the board. So this building removed Frank Castle from the board as well. His dying thoughts are how much he wants. What? What's that? Vengeance. And those are the magic words, ladies and gentlemen. He finds himself awakening in hell, of course, but he's facing down Mephisto, who said, "I heard you want some vengeance." And suddenly, Frank Castle, the Punisher, is the new Ghost Rider.
Yep.
He will find himself back on Earth. He's got his hell bike. He's on fire. He's ready. He's going to punish evil. He's going to get some vengeance. But there's no one there. He's on Earth alone. Thanos has already killed literally everyone and moved on. So he kind of rides around in circles on Earth for who knows how long, thousands of years, presumably. Eventually, Mephisto even will quit caring, quit answering his calls, whatever, quit picking up, leaving him on red. And so this is just going to go on, and he's going to lose his mind, and he's going to become this kind of wise cracking Frank Castle, which, guys, I'm going to level with you here. I'm always honest with you. This version of Frank Castle does not resonate with me very much. I really enjoy these comics. I enjoy all these situations and wild things that Donny Cates does and thinks up and puts his characters in, and just this just weird stuff, you know, just,
yeah.
Fun, cool, metal things. But Frank himself feels like discount Deadpool to me. And that's okay. I'm moving on.
Like you said, he goes kind of crazy. He loses his mind. He develops psychosis. And I guess what we're saying here is that we think the Frank Castle that we know, if that happened to him, he would not go to the Deadpool Joker side of things. He would go to, you know, a more amplified Frank Castle, maybe even talking less than he already does.
I'm thinking like go more Thanos in the way of just, oh,
yeah,
it's not my choice. I don't want to, but I have to kill you. You know, just
right. Like that last little shred of Frank is kind of eroded away. And,
mm-hmm. and his, so no one's, you know, go more to the no one's innocent. Everyone has to die type thing. But that's neither here nor there. That's just our personal headcanon. If you disagree, yeah. That's totally fine, man. This is a very, very, very minor quibble that is sticking in my craw for some reason. So don't worry about it too much. If you like the way this character talks, then I support you. And I want to go on record as saying I do really enjoy these comics.
Yeah, they just work. But
it's just Frank's dialogue just doesn't resonate with me. That's all. That's all it is.
Something Chris and I were talking off mic about this series a lot. To me, and maybe this is just the framing that the writers wanted to go through, which makes perfect sense through this lens, but it definitely feels less Punisher Defenders style and more Guardians style, right? Through its writing, through its dialogue, things like that. And it is a cosmic thing, right? So, I mean, that might be part of it as well. And like you said, feels a little bit like Deadpool at times, but I would say more just like that Guardians, especially the movies Guardians.
And he does work with the Guardians.
A lot.
Not long. Yeah, not long after his introduction. So, you know, like I said, it's really not a big deal. We've already probably spent too much time on it, but that's okay. It's just this thing I had to get out for some reason. So, like I said, don't let it bother you. I really do enjoy this character in these comics. So, it's just an annoying little thing. Just like living on an Earth alone with no one to love, no one to vengeance. It's tough, you know? It's an annoying little thing. But thankfully, lucky for us and lucky for Frank, an extremely injured Galactus is going to show up to Earth looking for help. Thinking that Earth's mightiest heroes are available to help him against Thanos, to help him, you know, save all of existence, basically, because Thanos is literally going in this timeline. Thanos is going to every world and eliminating everyone by hand. This is not just like a snap situation. This is he's looking in your eyes while he does it type thing. Really terrifying. Anyway, there's no one on Earth to help Galactus except for this insane Frank Castle. So Frank talks Galactus into making him his herald. So this is how Cosmic Ghost Rider is born. Galactus bestows a fraction of his power to Ghost Rider Frank Castle, giving him the power Cosmic, and voila, we've got the chains made of the bones of Sidorak. We've got the souped up, extra dimensional, insane hell bike. We've got the really cool costume with the great red spikes and shoulder pads.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got a souped up penance stare. This guy is powerful enough that if the writer wants to make him do something he's never done, like just, I mean, he's done this once, but just kind of emanate a giant wave of energy and kind of incinerate everything around him, he can do it because he's got the power Cosmic. He's that powerful. So like I said earlier, when he's fighting against mortals or on Earth or helping your favorite characters, he is holding back and handicapping himself to an immense degree.
Yeah.
Just to not kill innocents. So,
I mean, he's about as powerful as you get in the Marvel Universe, right?
He is top percent. I mean, Silver Surfer mixed with Ghost Rider.
It's insanity.
It's two incredible power sets, right?
Yeah.
So pretty cool. So Galactus and Cosmic Ghost Rider are going to become this dynamic duo going around the universe, trying to save people, trying to beat Thanos. For honestly, they become legendary, and it's implied they do it for a very, very, very long time. But all good things must come to an end, Jesse. And as Frank and Galactus confront Thanos, Thanos easily rips Galactus' head off. And Galactus is no more.
This Thanos is insane.
This is a very, very, very mean, insane Thanos, yes. And extremely powerful. I mean, if you're just on a whim doing that to Galactus, the destroyer of worlds,
Not normal.
It's pretty wild. So instead of killing Frank, Thanos convinces him by saying that I can show you more evil than you can even punish, more evil than you can even vengeance against, okay? And Frank takes him up. You know, he becomes the black right hand of Thanos, the Mad Titan. So now we have this character, King Thanos. King Thanos is going to he's going to order Frank to go back in time to get a younger version of Thanos to help him take out the last person, the last being that hasn't been conquered by Thanos. Of course, he's literally got the Hulk being kept as a pet. You know, he's got Frank, you know, all these little things around, but the last unconquered person is the Silver Surfer. And wouldn't you know it, the Silver Surfer has Mjolnir. He's got Thor's hammer. So that's another two incredible power sets mixed together, right? So eventually younger Thanos and older Thanos are going to have a falling out. Young Thanos is going to off King Thanos and return to his time. And Silver Surfer with Mjolnir is going to kill Frank. This is Frank's second death, but something else is going to happen. Frank can never just die. And it's never his own choice. It's other people. Oh, the Mephisto thing, a little different. But this one, Odin is going to rip him through timelines, through dimensions, through realities, and get him in Valhalla. He's going to be one of the very, very few mortals on Valhalla, and he's gonna hate it. Constantly getting in trouble, constantly picking fights. Frank Castle, not built for just enjoying life, man. He's got to be doing something. So Odin kind of grants him a wish, but also kind of kicks him out of Valhalla. So he'll be repowered as Cosmic Ghost Rider, and he's going to now be sent to a time when Thanos is just kind of a toddler, just barely walking, barely talking. And he's going to kill Thanos before Thanos can become Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
So Frank's going to use his cosmic penance stare on this kid, and he's going to find out that baby Thanos is innocent. He was not born evil.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
It is death herself that chooses Thanos as her instrument. And this is what's going to lock Thanos into his path. And death all but tells Frank that you can't stop it. No one can stop it. When she picks a herald, when she picks a right hand, when she picks a champion, there's no one that can stop it. And she might also imply that she's maybe picked Frank for that as well. Pretty interesting here.
Yeah, really cool concepts and ideas here.
Mm-hmm.
Twisting and adding to the Thanos lore, right? That we already know in Marvel.
So, of course, I jumped ahead with this death thing. It's neither here nor there. Just a little tidbit. Going back to where we are in the story, Frank is going to now decide to raise baby Thanos himself because it's an innocent kid. And we've got this little callback to, you know, Cable and Hope Summers.
100%.
And all that. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as Cosmic Ghost Rider, Frank Castle, decides he's going to do this, we've got a time-traveling Cable leading the Avengers wacky dimension, or from the future of this dimension, this new timeline that Frank has just created by deciding to do this. And I mean, we got everybody. We've got Kamala Khan, her Miss Marvel powers, but she's also got the Captain America shield. We've got Juggernaut Howard the Duck. I mean, just so many weird characters and character designs that I can't even really remember them all.
Yeah, some of them like dual powered, like you said.
Yes. Just different versions of dual characters personas. You know and love. Yeah.
Yeah. Golly.
And these are the resistance from the future, where this baby Thanos raised by the Punisher, cosmic Punisher, rules. You know, it's as you would imagine, extremely authoritarian and extremely black and white, just a hellscape. So what does Frank do? Well, of course, he's set in his ways. He's decided he is going to raise this baby Thanos. So he just kills them all, man.
Pretty easily.
Without any trouble.
I mean, we're talking Cable, got Omega level powers.
We're talking several Omega level powered beings here.
Madness.
Just not a problem. Well, eventually Thanos, future Thanos, Punisher Thanos is going to show up. He's going to walk through this time traveling portal, and it's Thanos, but he's wearing a Punisher getup.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, "Hey Dad, why don't you come to the future with me?" And they go to the future, and after seeing all these wonderful things that a very few people get, you know, Frank sees the actual reality of this future, and this goes to show how powerful he is. This is that kind of incendiary thing I'm talking about. He literally kills this Thanos, just unleashes the power cosmic penetrator and evaporates him, incinerates him to nothing, and destroys this whole timeline. And he takes baby Thanos back to be raised. And, you know, we've had two instances of a younger Thanos seeing a version of his older self that he does not want to turn into. So this happens with King Thanos, and this happens with Punisher Thanos. So in a way, Frank is possibly affecting things for the good, but he also taught Lady Death, kind of tells Frank this, that you just taught baby Thanos an insane level of violence and just insane, yeah. You know, gave him a bloodlust. That's you. Thanks, bud. So that's a wonderful, wonderful story arc there. I probably told you too much about because I want you to read it, but it is a 5-issue miniseries.
Yeah.
Just Cosmic Ghost Rider Volume 1. Yeah. Baby Thanos must die. It's good. It's fun. So now we're going to move through the rest of this with a little bit less of an eye to detail. I'm going to give you guys the generalities because there's not that much. You can literally read all of this stuff in a weekend. So Frank is going to, after leaving baby Thanos, he's going to go live this life on Earth. And of course he's, you know, earlier on than present day Marvel because he went to a time when Thanos was a child. So he's going to spend the rest of these years while he's catching up to the timeline, catching up to us, kind of trying to change a lot of things on Earth, but it's all going to eventually be erased and the memories are taken away from everybody because he gets to the point where he's making such big changes that, you know, Yuta the Watcher is showing up and we have some other forces that are just keeping him from doing it. After we go through this, he's going to spend some time with the Guardians of the Galaxy. After after Thanos's death, there's going to be a whole thing about him being resurrected, his consciousness being uploaded into another body. And of course, the obvious thought for this is Gamora, because it's kind of, you know, she became Thanos for a little bit. So we're going to gather all these cosmic beings and we're going to go kill Gamora. And it's going to, you know, it's going to set off a series of events. It's mostly going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy story by Donny Cates, but Cosmic Ghost Rider is very much there. We're going to go through black holes. We're going to have some Beta Ray Bill fun. It's just a 12-issue series. It's Guardians of the Galaxy 2019. It's a lot of fun. I'd recommend you read it. But at the end of it, I think there's some really interesting things that happen with Hela here. But at the end of this, you know, Frank is going to find himself in hell once again, thanks to Hela, whom, though she's only a 4-threat in MCP, does have power over, you know, the dead. And Frank is essentially a zombie. He's got his mind and everything, but he has been brought to life twice now, or back to life twice. So Hela pretty much has complete control over him. She's going to send him to hell. And then that's where he's going to wake up to see Johnny Blaze, who's, you know, the king of hell at this point. He's going to force Frank to possess Avengers Mountain and attack the Avengers. Frank, after going through all this, is going to be sick of Earth and return to the cosmic area once again. He's going to be punishing, vengeancing all over. And eventually, he's going to be thrown in prison, space prison. He's going to kind of depower himself, just be frank. He's going to accept this punishment. But he's going to get in a scuffle, of course. And he's going to accidentally free this very, 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 very powerful parasite and let it loose into the world. Eventually, Frank is going to have to confront this parasite, who is going to become a character named the Cosmic King. Once again, I think you should read all this stuff. We're going to get a new character introduced through all this named Camille Benelli. Some good things are going to happen to her. Some bad things are going to happen to her. Essentially here, these are some pretty wild adventures for Frank here that are going on, you know, kind of currently and more recently in Marvel. I think I would really like it for you guys to read them. Eventually, Frank is going to get split into two and have to figure this out. He's going to have to figure out how to come back together. We're going to be dealing with a lot of big cosmic forces, the Cosmic King. It's a lot of fun. But this is as far as we're going to go in lore today because, and I want to stress this, Cosmic Ghost Rider is a very new and still very active character in Marvel. Mm-hmm. So if you are listening to this later, I mean, he could have been in a ton more stuff. And even just a year from now, you know, he could be a major hero or villain in the most incredible storyline that's ever taken place. But it just, maybe it hasn't happened yet. So he is going strong. So if you want to get caught up on him, really, really easy to do. And it is quite a fun ride.
Absolutely. So MCU, no Cosmic Ghost Rider yet.
Not yet.
Now, Disney's been in talks recently of recanonizing the Daredevil Defenders universe from Netflix. Fantastic. I think Jon Bernthal is the greatest Punisher ever that's been on live action screen. I don't think that's hard.
There was one more Punisher movie, though.
Ray Stevenson.
There's that one. And then isn't there
Baylen Skull, man, as Punisher.
Well, my personal favorite Punisher is Dolph Lundgren from The Punisher, 1989.
I mean, he's good. He's good.
What are you talking about? It's Dolph Lundgren. Of course he's good.
He's good in everything. But no, Jon Bernthal, I think, brings the most depth of all
the
these
answer,
guys.
Of course, is Jon Bernthal. He's the best, but my favorite is Dolph Lundgren. Your favorite and the best do not always have to be the same.
That is very true there. That is absolutely very true. But yeah, to see him just more Punisher in the future is great. If he played some Cosmic Ghost Rider in the future, I would not be upset, but seems unlikely at this point. But like Chris said, you never know what Marvel's going to do going forward.
You never know. You really don't.
I really could see Marvel expanding to Cosmic in the future, many years out in the MCU, especially in the realm of shows.
If they can survive this next phase or two, but
they can figure out what they're doing. Yeah.
We'll see if they can. Apparently Echo's good. I don't know. Have you seen it yet?
I've not seen Echo yet, but I've also heard that it's kind of Netflix Daredevil adjacent, which is good, you know, trying to recanonize some stuff.
Well, we'll see. I guess I'll have to watch it and talk about it.
Yeah, we'll watch it and we'll talk about it. I mean, I'm still convinced Daredevil is some of the best things in the Marvel live action universe. And easily, Vincent D'Onofrio is top five villains in the entire MCU. And that's saying something. And he is canonized again as a villain,
yes.
Right? So
yes,
time will tell with all that. But to get this Defender stuff back would be great. And then obviously we could maybe see Frank Castle return and things like that. But time will tell. Time will tell. But as of right now, he's not anywhere in the canon as it stands. So, Chris, that's got to close out our lore section with your final comic book recommendation. What are we reading today? What do you recommend? I know we kind of touched on the main storyline of his initial run, which you and I both thoroughly enjoyed. But is there something else?
I would honestly say you can really just read anything Cosmic Ghost Rider right now. There's not a ton out there. But if you want to read one of the more recent things, one of the things I was talking about, kind of wrapped up with Revenge of the Comic Ghost Rider. It is a 5-issue miniseries, and it's written by Dennis Hopeless, who's pretty good comic book writer.
Okay. So that in addition to Cosmic Ghost Rider by Donny Cates.
Oh yeah. And then, you know, you can also read that 2019 Guardians of the Galaxy run. Like I said, it's only 12 issues and it's Donny. So they're not heavy reading. It's really fun. And you get to see the Guardians of the Galaxy come back together. It's great.
Yeah. Also, Bill showing up, which is always a fun time.
Well, he's a guardian, baby.
That's right. Absolutely. All right, Chris. Well, very exciting lore today. Let's jump right into Cosmic Ghost Rider and Marvel Crisis Protocol and strategy. Starting with his name, Cosmic Ghost Rider and his alter ego, of course, is Frank Castle. He is a sixth threat model. That's right. He's one of our big characters. Let's talk about his stats. On his healthy side, he has a stamina of 9. On his injured side, he has a stamina of 7, giving him 16. His defenses are 4 across the board, 4-4-4. He's a large-sized base, medium mover, very fast. We're talking Malekith speed here, but in fact, he's even faster, and we'll get to that later. Sixth threat model, Chris, anything stand out?
He looks like a sixth threat.
Yeah.
The overloaded health on the front side is not always my favorite, but sometimes you like it. It just depends on the situation.
Yeah, I think it's always better, right?
You think so?
Well, because you count for objectives longer, in theory.
You do count for objectives longer.
You win those ties or whatever, you know, against injured models. And it turns out he can injure models really easily. I think he's fine. I think all the stats are great. And they just get better the more we get into his card. I think, you know,
it's
no secret. And, you know, this is not a meta discussion or a strategy discussion. And through that lens, this is our show and, you know, examining this card. But there's no secret that he is a strong six threat, right? And it's also funny because we don't have many six threats in the game. So it's not really like the 6, 7, and 8 threat spots in particular are so narrow as it is that
absolutely,
you know, they're already so strong by default because they are a certain threat. But additionally, I think he's just a great character all around. And this should continue to resonate from our news update last year where we've said all this, but this is our refined additional thoughts after, you know, playing against him for some time. I think would now be a perfect time, Chris, to talk about how he changes the dice. And we're going to have to jump around a little bit and talk about his innate ability, Ready to Roll. At the start of the first power phase, this character gains a psychosis token. While it has a psychosis token, it counts skull results in its attack, defense, and dodge rolls as successes, no longer failures. And while this character has a psychosis token, it cannot hold, contest, or interact with objective tokens. So essentially, when Cosmic Ghost Rider has the psychosis token, which is going to be a lot, and we'll find out ways that he keeps it or loses it later, but he becomes Nebula, essentially, or Honey Badger, right? But then he gets so much better dice results on attack and defense and dodge, because the thing that's a failure for essentially everyone in the game, despite some situations outside of, you know, things like Reality Gem, Reality Stone, things like that, and certain other characters like Scarlet Witch, he gets all these benefits. And what's cool about him too, Chris, is this is just blanket. I mean, this is even better than Dormammu, because Dormammu has it on attack, but not defense.
Yeah. Being able to juice defense dice in this game is really great.
Yeah, they're not good in this game, typically.
Because they're not good. And if they have another successful result, it's a net gain of 2, right? They're losing a negative result and they're gaining a success result. It's just wild. Like, it's very, very good. His defense dice, I mean, they're still defense dice. They're not going to break the game. Right.
It's not still worse than attack dice.
It's not his defenses that people are upset about, I will say. I'm just saying it's pretty nice.
It definitely gives him consistency on attack and defense, right? Which is something, or more consistency. So with all that said, I feel like we had to talk about that power first before I talk about his first attack, because now we're kind of going to frame his attacks and his defense and stuff through these lenses. So his first attack is an energy attack called Hellfire Blasters. It is range 4. It is a strength of 6, which is amazing. It's a power cost of 0, and it is a gainer. After the attack is resolved, Cosmic Ghost Rider gains 1 power.
Pretty good.
Yeah, we just sang the praises of a 6 dice gainer on Scourge.
Yep.
Without counting skulls. Now, keep in mind, Scourge is a 3-threat character, so I think, once again, another massive point in Scourge's camp. 3-threat that has a 6-dice attack. But a range 4 6-dice attack that also counts skulls. I mean, we're in Dormammu territory now, right? On a 6-threat, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely amazing, consistent. You know, this is the attack you're going to use most of the time. That's just kind of how it is.
Given the cost of the next attack we're about to talk about, yeah, I think you're going to use this about 80%, 90% of the time.
And it's range 4, so like it's really easy to double tap or split fire if you need to.
12 dice, attack dice a turn without having to pay for it. That's pretty good. So let's talk about his second attack. It is a mystic attack, Power Cosmic Penance Stare.
Yeah.
I do not ever want to be penance stared, and I do not want to be Power Cosmic Penance Stared ever. It is range 2, strength of 12, power cost of 6. The target character does not gain power for damage dealt by this attack. And we have a Yahtzee here. If you roll a wild, a crit, a hit, a defense, and a skull. So one of everything.
True Yahtzee, yep.
You will trigger Dust to Dust. Change each of the target character's defense results to a skull result.
Yeah, this attack is insane. This is, design-wise, kind of a mix of the Penance Stare and Malekith Spender, which is great because those are both terrifying Spender attacks. But this one's better, Chris, because it's not only its 12 dice. It's 12 dice with this ready-to-roll ability.
Yep.
And we've already talked about how explosive dice are in MCP, and the more dice you have, the more chance you have to see more results, the more chance you have to see more skulls. And then the Yahtzee is just an added bonus. I don't think you're ever really guaranteeing the Yahtzee or looking for the Yahtzee. That is what it is. Because I think most models that are 4-threat or less, if they're teed up a little bit, are just going to be removed with this attack. That's just how it is. So
yep,
you don't even need the Yahtzee. The Yahtzee is just kind of like an insult to injury. It's great. I mean, the theme is great.
It's a win more power. Yeah.
I mean, I absolutely totally see. We saw this power in the Donnie Cates like run. Like
it's very cool.
Chris is basically explaining, so like when he fights the Avengers, like this Dust to Dust happens.
Dude, a lot of the art in these runs too is absurd. Great. And when he Cosmic Penance Stares baby Thanos, that whole page is just beautiful. It's beautiful.
Just gorgeous. Yeah. So I think this is one of the best spenders in the game, if not arguably the best attrition spender in the game. I think we can safely say that as it stands right now. How often are you going to do that?
Maybe we'll once see. A game. Yeah,
we'll see. We'll talk Maybe. About that with these superpowers that are very good. Starting with the first superpower, which is an active superpower called the Interstellar Hell Cycle, cost X. Cosmic Ghost Rider may spend 1 to 5 power to use this superpower. Place Cosmic Ghost Rider within range X of its current position, where X is the amount of power you spent. The superpower can only be used once per turn. That's right, Chris. We finally have a teleport range 5 if we
Ridiculous.
Need it. This is ridiculous because you have also guarantees with this character where it's like, in the absolute least, you know, you could like shoot someone once and get another power, and then maybe you can bump 2 or 3 now, right? Like there's things like that power phase in addition to your gainer and things like that, because there's more things for him in the power phase. But like not even counting off of that element, just like say he gets 1 power in the power phase, you shoot your gun. Well, now you know in the absolute least he can body slide, right? So I think this power is insane. I think this is actually... This superpower and the next superpower are essentially his best two things, right? I mean, we just Absolutely. Talked about how consistent he is with dice, which is great, but it's his mobility. It's his displacement.
It's mobility and displacement and then just blowing things up. It's yeah. wild. He's incredible.
And we're seeing a theme that Malekith had too. And Malekith's theme was he had insane mobility with his massive charge and he had displacement with his charge, right? Like yep. displacing models of any size, which now has been changed. Obviously, Cosmic Ghost Rider doesn't have a throw on its card at all, but I think everything is framed through this Interstellar Hell Cycle thing, because now you can start putting him in teams that give power and his power level goes up even more because you put him in a team like A-Force and Humans, things like that, where it's like, oh, not only is he good on his own, but now I can pass him power at will potentially through game state things and guarantee maybe a range 3 or 4 or 5 Hell Cycle, right? And which is crazy because it also means with his medium move, he can get to your back deployment if he needs to.
Yes. He's done it to me. Yeah. I mean, he's done it to just about all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. He can catch anyone he needs to.
He can get anywhere he needs to. He can take him out. Black Cat's not hiding.
Yeah. Well said. And that's the power of this bike for sure. But we got to move on to his next superpower, Chris.
The next superpower is the one. It's the one. It is an active superpower. It is the Chains of Sidorak. Choose a character. This can be your own. This can be your character too.
That's right.
Within range 3 of Cosmic Ghost Rider and push it towards Cosmic Ghost Rider short. Then the chosen character gains the Incinerate special condition. A character can be affected by the superpower only once a turn. So you can hit everybody on the board with this once every turn. If you have the power to do so, you're not going to, but that's, I'm just saying theoretically within the rules, you can hit your characters and their characters, every one of them, once a turn.
It's amazing.
Displacement.
Yeah, and it gives you a whole new avenue of play for Cosmic Ghost Rider where it's like he can go early and remove models before they activate, or he can wait and go late and be like a souped up web warrior, right? And displace the board at the end of a round, deny some scoring, gain some scoring for his own team, which is great because now we've just established that he does have a massive weakness is that he doesn't score, right? But
right. But neither do you, because neither do you're you. Dead.
Exactly. You're dead or displaced, right? Yep. So that's important. But continuing with his superpowers, he has a reactive superpower called Cosmic Justice on Wheels. It does cost 3, which I think is a very fair cost. After an ally character is dazed or KO'd by an enemy effect, after the effect is resolved, this character may use the superpower. It makes a hellfire attack against the enemy character that caused that effect. This is Bucky's Got Your Back. Less range because his blasters are range 4. It's great.
Yep.
Hard to set up with him because I think quite frequently on Cosmic Ghost Rider's turns, you are dumping all your power on the Penance Stare, on the Hell Cycle, on the Chains of Sidorak. So to have 3 power on your opponent's turn, outside of them attacking you, giving you a little bit of power.
Exactly.
It's fairly rare. That's been my experience. But also, something to keep in mind when you're fighting Cosmic Ghost Rider, if he's got 1 power on him or something, maybe don't attack him and give him this, right? So keep that in mind, you know, so
it's something you need to at least consider for sure.
Yeah, because it just like Fury Senior and the Howling Commandos, Got Your Back with a character with a gainer is very strong. Because in a weird way, it's like it costs 2, not 3, you know, because you're guaranteeing, even if the attack whiffs, you're guaranteeing getting a power back. So why not try, you know? So that's a very frequent thing to do. And this is the scariest Got Your Back in the game because he's counting skulls.
Yeah. With 6 dice.
With 6 dice. So I'm not saying they're not going to do it. They're definitely going to do it. But I'm saying it is the furthest down the totem pole of priorities. And this is a very power hungry character, despite how much power he gains.
He needs a lot of power to do a lot of things because he can do a lot of things. But how does he get that power, Jesse? Let's talk about his next superpower. It is an innate ability. I'm the Spirit of Vengeance, bearer of the power cosmic, and just a bit unstable. During the power phase, Cosmic Ghost Rider rolls 5 dice. For each critical, wild, and hit rolled, Cosmic Ghost Rider gains 1 power. Then, if this character has 5 or more power, Cosmic Ghost Rider gains a psychosis tokens and drops all objective tokens it is holding. At the start of the next power phase, remove all psychosis tokens from this character.
This is crazy. So he's going to gain normal power from the power phase, and then you're going to roll a dice to see what's happening, which is just crazy. Now, I think the average on this is you're going to be like, dice averages aside, I think on this you can guarantee you're going to have 2 or 3 power every power phase, right?
For the most part. Yeah, you're going to.
And you're going to get lucky other times.
You're going to get lucky, but you're going to whiff.
Like 4 or 5.
You're going to whiff sometimes too. Pretty rare.
Yeah, pretty rare, but you're going to whiff sometimes too. And that's the nature of this and makes it fun, but also, I think it's also what makes Cosmic Ghost Rider feel so powerful because he's already a strong model and you're adding this slot machine aspect to him every turn to make him even stronger, right? So you've got to be aware as the Cosmic Ghost Rider player and the person playing against Cosmic Ghost Rider. How much did you gain this round? Oh my goodness. Okay, so I've got to keep an eye on that. You can change the Sidorak 2 times, or you know, you can Interstellar Hellcycler to this point. So maybe I should move the other way. Like there's things that you can actually account for. But what's crazy, this is every round, Chris. So, I mean, this could just, as you said, you could get lucky multiple rounds in a row at the front end of a round. And then even if your dice start whiffing on the back ends of rounds, does Cosmic Ghost Rider care?
No, once you've got a couple activations removed, it's kind of snowball, right?
Yeah, he's that strong. Absolutely.
He is that strong.
So let's talk about the second part of this. If he has 5 more power, he drops objectives. Okay, that's good. That's strong because he's becoming Nebula again, right? What's cool is at the start of the next power phase, remove all psychosis tokens from this character and you kind of try again, right? And so what's important about that is you can stop him from getting his ready to roll in some ways, right? By removing power, things like rogue and stuff, right? You can really slow him down and make him base solely off of his roll to see if he's counting skulls or not. So that is kind of a weakness he has as well, though I think it's a little bit harder to plan for.
We're starting to get more characters that can do that power drain.
Yeah, power drain, right. Sap power, things like that.
It's going to be coming into the game more. My thinking is you're going to see it a lot more this year, but we'll see about that.
The irony is classic Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider is a really cool counter to him because
I love that.
You attack Johnny Blaze's team, he gets powered up, right? Yep. Johnny Blaze can also make your own crits hurt you. So Cosmic Ghost Rider is rolling a lot of dice, and so he's going to have more crits than average other characters, so Johnny Blaze can fight that. And Johnny Blaze can Penance Stare him, not give him power when he kills him, right? So there's a lot of layers to that, and we can get into that like in other discussions in the future. There's a lot of characters that can deal with Cosmic Ghost Rider, but the hardest part is you're on this fine line of how much do you ignore him, how much do you focus fire him,
yep,
how much do you control him, and it's going to be based off of what your list has, right? So there's so many things going on his card that I get that it's hard to keep up with, because closing out his card, he has an amazing slew of innates. He has flight, so keeping that mobility alive. We assumed he had flight, but there it is. And then he has immunity to bleed, hex, incinerate, poison. Very similar to Johnny Blaze in that regard, because he is the spirit of vengeance. These things should not affect him.
Right.
But it also makes it harder to deal with him. Now, there's a massive, notable something missing on this grouping, Chris, and it's stun and stagger. He hates stun. He hates stagger.
You love to see it.
She-Hulk laughs, right? She's like, I can I can give both of those. And I can punch you really hard.
And she can slow him too.
That's right. I don't know if I mentioned it. She is a size 3 character. That is notable for pushes and stuff, but he's not size 4. So he's not immune to certain models that are lower threat can display size 3s, right?
Toss him around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And force him to spend power to get back to where he needs to be, or to use one of his, possible attacks to move instead. Those are very good ways of attempting to deal with him.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah. And, we've talked about this a lot. I think he's a very strong character, but at the same time, Chris, I think the pilot of this character has to know how to play him,
100%. He is not plug and play. You can't
similar to Hulk in that way.
You cannot just put him together and start winning games.
No. You and I'm sure people experience. Think that right now, but that's not the case.
Not to date us here, but there's a lot of negativity about this character in the community. And
he's just the latest character in the crosshair,
I think a lot of that is going on. He is a little overtuned. He is not always a fun play experience. There's smoke here for a reason, I will say, but he's not ruining the game. It's fine.
Someone's always got to be the best in their class. And unfortunately, he's the best by a large margin. And I think that could be reduced a little bit, and he could still be the best in his class, right? And that class being fast, scary attrition piece, right?
100% agree.
So at his threat level, right? So I think AMG kind of knocked this character out of the park in regards to the rules, though he needs a little bit of tuning, which I think we will get in the future because they're really good about that. But I mean, just the concepts here, the design itself, all his abilities are completely in canon. I mean, this person knew Cosmic Ghost Rider from
it's the cool. The power
this is not
design
together. This is not no. like a, this is, these all have something really well thought out lore wise.
Design wise, this character is insane.
Yeah.
Capturing what Cosmic Ghost Rider is, his power set, which is so expansive, and putting it inside the framework of MCP and making it work is incredible. Like, I really do like this character a lot, and I'm very excited for them to tune a couple of these dials down for me to not feel bad about playing him.
Yeah, that's the irony. That's where you and I both have been since his release.
Yes, 100%.
We're going to play him when that changes. But yeah, it's... Has me really excited for Silver Surfer in the future.
Oh my gosh.
If we're seeing a vestige of what that could be, right?
I can't even. I don't want to think about it. The paint jobs we're going to get on Silver Surfer.
Or, fingers crossed, a Galactus Ultimate Encounter at some point, right? Or something like that.
I need that, yeah.
Yeah, that would be so fun. But phenomenal character in this game. Phenomenal design. And you've got to respect him. I mean, you've got to have tools against him. And I also think that's another thing that he's showing up in the game right now, Chris. He is a gear check. Because if someone does know how to play him really well, and you don't have tools in your roster to either ignore him, control him, stagger him, blow him up, whatever it is, you're going to be in trouble, right? Because he's going to quickly catch your models, remove them. But at the end of the day, outside of his Chains of Sidorak, he is a 6 threat model that rolls a lot of dice. And sometimes MCP dice just don't work out. And he doesn't have other tools than the chains and his movement, which is great tools. But I mean, he doesn't have other tools outside of rolling dice. Now, he does have a gainer, which is very helpful in that regard. It's kind of a guarantee, like you're not on what you can get power wise, but
it helps with the math. It doesn't always pay off, in massive amounts of power. It never does, but a guaranteed power or two when you need it, when you can count on it, is very, very nice.
Absolutely. So let's start with his tactics cards, Chris. Obviously, before we get to his affiliations, he does have two, One of them is very wordy. It's the first one. It's time travel. Don't ask. It's unaffiliated, reactive, which means you can play this in any team the Cosmic Ghost Rider's in. During the cleanup phase, after VPs have been scored, an allied Cosmic Ghost Rider that is not contesting an objective may spend 5 to play this card. If Cosmic Ghost Rider has a psychosis token, he may now remove it. Then Cosmic Ghost Rider may advance medium towards an objective you are not securing. If you are now securing that objective, you may immediately gain 1 VP. Now, I do like this card a lot, Chris. I think what's really cool about this is, and you know, AMG quickly errated this card and kind of fixed the text. I just read the correct text for the listener.
Yes.
And it's a way to get rid of your psychosis token. And it's a way to get on scoring a point. That's really cool. And we don't really have things like this in MCP. This is the first we've really ever seen of this, where it's like during cleanup, your model can move and score something, right? This is very like, I don't know. It's just new and exciting. It shows a lot of space in the game in the future.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah. And it's a way to get rid of your token, right? And
so I do have a question here about how this all works out. So you're scoring 1 VP from this card. And then if the psychosis token is removed and you happen to be winning that secure, you will also score that secure's VP.
No, because the first line already happened. Yeah, because I think the most important thing to remember is during the timing is why we always say, like, when we play our games, like
it says after score, VPs have been scored.
Well, yeah. We always say, like, all right, we're in cleanup, score first. Don't trigger any other cleanup stuff, right? Don't pull off tokens. Don't start healing or whatever you have, like abilities you might have. So no, he would not score, but it is a weird way to be like, it is a weird way to win the game.
I was thinking how crazy it would just to keep this around for when you're at 15. Oh, okay. Well, then I'll just win. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also like that, you know, when it first came out, people were like, why am I doing this? It's just like a movement. But now it's like saying, like, you guarantee you get rid of psychosis tokens. So maybe that's something you want for the next round as well. Potentially, you could get it back if you Yahtzee really high.
Yeah.
But unlikely, because you just spent 5 power to play this card. There's still a risk there. I mean, it's the lore of the character that, you know, it's very unpredictable. But
he's unstable.
Interesting card. Absolutely. But interesting card. It's one of those things that Cosmic Ghost Rider is so good by himself that I think a lot of people are just bringing 5 cards that work for the rest of their team.
I think that makes a lot of sense to do right now.
But I will read the next card, and I do think this one is very exciting. Servants of the Titan, Black Order only, active. Spoiler, Cosmic Ghost Rider is part of the Black Order.
Yeah, he was the black right hand of Thanos.
That's right. During the Cosmic Ghost Rider's activation, any number of allied Black Order characters may spend 1 power to play this card. For each power spent to play this card, roll a dice. Once again, we're slot machining it up. For each crit, hit, and wild, and blank in the result, Cosmic Ghost Rider deals 1 damage to an enemy character within range 3 of him. For each skull and block in the result, Cosmic Ghost Rider suffers 1 damage, but then gains 1 power. I think this is a very good card, Chris, especially in Corvus-led Black Order.
Yeah, wide order.
100%. Because unmitigated damage in MCP is huge. It's just absolutely massive.
It's massive.
You could do this at like the top of a Ghost Rider turn to see what he gets and then decide on who to finish off. Or you can say, oh, wow, I killed that character with just this card. Now I can health cycle over here and catch something else, which is very Black Order. And I also don't even think the back part is bad. I think it's great because you're just moving power off of people. Like, so let's say Proxima's loaded up. Well, the value of a power on Cosmic Ghost Rider is higher than Proxima, and you'll take that for the 1 damage, right?
Absolutely. Every time.
So I think it's a very good card if you're running Black Order Cosmic Ghost Rider lists. And I think you should give it a shot, especially if you're running Power Swan on your list, something too, right? You've got a lot of power floating around to move this around. And I think it's very fun. So definitely give that a shot. But that's it for his card, Chris, and his tactics cards. And we're gonna close out like we always do with his affiliations.
Keep
this real short and sweet. He is affiliated with only 2 teams in the game, which makes a lot of lore sense. He's affiliated with the Black Order, like Chris just alluded to, why he is, and then the Guardians of the Galaxy.
He definitely joined joined the Guardians of the Galaxy team for about 3, 4, maybe 5 panels before he left. So yeah, he's
I'm sure he'll be back with them.
He's an eternal guardian now. Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be back with them in the future.
Guardians are family.
Yeah, and the cool thing about Guardians, obviously, in the lore is they'll take anybody's help they can get, and they'll get it done, right? I mean, that's kind of their thing.
The best part about Guardians to me is, yes, we love them. The movies are great, but no one wants to be a Guardian of the Galaxy.
they always leave.
In the Marvel universe, no one wants to be on that team. They're considered weird, unstable, misfits, you know.
Yep.
The whole thing. So they're in universe absolutely a B, C, D tier squad.
For sure. For sure.
And I love that.
I do love that too. So he's incredible in Guardians because turns out when you have rerolls on a character that counts skulls on his attack and defense dice, the chances of you using those rerolls to net something positive are just better. Like, this is not even a math segment. This is just, if he had a superpower in his card that said, you know, he can reroll a couple dice throughout a game, it's massive on a character like this because that could be the difference. It could be one of those things where you're sending 4 damage into a character that needs 5 damage to daze, and you're saying, okay, I reroll that, and what are the chances I get a hit, wild, crit, or skull, right? So that's a feature. Also, another feature of it is keeping him alive. You could keep him alive on 1 or 2 from using defensive rerolls with counting skulls and then guarantee that he gets to go that round and do his stuff, right? So I think in Guardians, it's a no-brainer. He's kind of insane. They're already an insane team without him. And now they have a guy that can do something that the rest of them can't do. He can go anywhere on the board, remove models that are running away and stuff, while the rest of the Guardians kind of gun line up, bubble up.
It's a ridiculous pairing, giving them that skill set.
The combo is kind of absurd, yeah, right?
And, it's wild.
You know, we've seen the power level over the years. It continues to be relevant in Marvel Crisis Protocol. 3 threat leaders, right? 3 threat leaders give you so much math freedom to build your teams.
Flexibility.
Yeah.
It's great. I keep choosing teams with high threat leaders and it always annoys me. I'm ready.
It's like the high threat leader teams, your roster has to look different. You've got to bring a bunch of 4s, right?
Yes.
And what's the freedom of a 3 threat leader gives you is it gives you those 4s. It gives you these high threat models like Cosmic Ghost Rider. It gives you low threat models. It gives you a lot of freedom to just play. So of course he's amazing in that team. But I think that same theme continues in Black Order. Though I think it's very pricey and very tough. Him and Thanos together, okay, that's 14 threat. That's kind of insane. But Death's Decreeing this character's attacks are the best Death's Decrees in the game. Like, full stop. I mean, it just sure. is. Because yeah. you're adding more dice for low cost and getting skull results. But additionally, that wide Black Order, which I want to explore more in the coming year, something I've always been
yes.
intrigued in. I think he slots right in with that team, and maybe they're one of the lower power level teams, but I think he might bring them up in that way because you are giving up Thanos to do that, which is obviously the best thing in Black Order, arguably, is just Thanos.
It has to be, right?
I mean, it has to be every time. But now you're saying, okay, I'm starting with Corvus, Proxima, Cosmic Ghost Rider, and I'm at, you know, probably reality Corvus. Let's be real.
Sure.
So once again, we're at 14 threat again, but this time instead of 2 models, we have 3.
Slightly better.
Slightly better. And options. So he's amazing, these teams. I don't think we need to get super deep into it. I think we should talk about places that he can be splashed. Turns out he can be splashed almost anywhere, but attrition teams really like him, and teams with rerolls really like him. So right out the gate, something maybe less common, but we have already seen a little bit this year, him and Wakanda, him and X-Force.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just giving him a reroll here and there is insane because they're already self-sustaining, powerful teams by themselves. And then you bring a model like this that can really just threaten everything on the board at any given time. Gives them tools to get done what they already want to do. The irony of the Wakanda version is they're really good at controlling some teams, but they also have explosive damage. So they could determine like what matchups they need Cosmic Ghost Rider and which ones they don't need him, right? And I think he's a toolbox for them. X-Force, you're just doing more of what X-Force does, right? Which is they might be the best team in the game with multiple threats on the board at all times.
I mean, every character in that roster can take you out.
He's just adding to that, right?
He's just adding to it.
He can be the cleanup crew at the end, just remove everything that's been teed up, or he can be the first last, or, you know, he can be the guy that sure. just starts the train, though that's usually Cable every time in that team. So those are some obvious places. Let's get some more interesting places. So A-Force, the power Absolutely. Thing, you're kind of putting a bind there because now...
Well, now you've got 2 6 threats.
Who you attacking?
But you can fill out around these 6 threats with 2 very good 2 and 3 threat characters, still have a decent amount of activations on the board that can yep. be useful. You can still have special delivery on call by bringing Crystal. So now you're looking at a special deliveried She-Hulk in the middle of the board that's already thrown a free out of activation attack. and we're looking at the displacement. You're going to get more displacement now from Cosmic Ghost Rider in this, because he's getting a power every time one of your A-Force characters takes a damage, which you brought Okoye, you brought Black Widow, you brought Crystal. You've got, we're going as wide as we can with these two big threats to keep damage to keep power funneling into them. And I think it could be very effective. I want to mess around with it, but at the same time, I don't know. That's a lot of threat.
Yeah, and that's a lot characters. Of like perfect piloting too, you know?
Yes.
Which is fine.
You better be good.
If you're good at it, it's somewhere like the Tall Brotherhood. If you're good at it, you're just going to control the game out, right? But.
And there's only one way to get good at it, and that's play it.
That's right. So A-Force is an obvious place because passing power around is really good. What do you do in that team? It's like, do you attack his allies and ignore him, but then you're powering up him and the rest of the team through the A-Force leadership? Or do you just go all into him and start powering up his allies, right? Then you've got, you know, I've always talked about how A-Force has this mini affiliation of the bodyguard puzzle inside there too, right? And that's something that keep him alive. The bodyguard puzzle of Okoye and She-Hulk. And yeah, good shout out, Chris, that A-Force is still one of the only teams in the entire game that has two affiliated two threats.
That's it's a one big of their deal. Biggest it's a very yeah. big deal.
Yeah.
And not to mention, Shuri's in there providing rerolls as well. It's an option.
Never
an
bad.
An option.
Absolutely. Well, talking about a couple more places that I think he's pretty solid and really fun. Shout out to Classic Red Skull. You know, the guy that just
absolutely,
gives you
man.
Power when you deal one damage or more. It's insanity for him because, I mean, now the chains are getting a lot scarier really quickly. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Ironically, he doesn't work with Master Red Skull at all because the new leadership is choosing to count skulls as positive, and you already do that. So nothing working there. But moving on, I mention it a lot, Chris, every time we have episodes with characters with power, but, you know, honorable mention, the lore seems to work too. Dark Dimension with Dormammu. This guy just getting more power in the power phase guarantee. A guy that can dump power. We talked about guys that can dump power. We've talked about characters that can dump power, and just that's what Dormammu wants. Now, I think Dormammu typically wants low threat characters, but there's nothing wrong with giving this a shot and just getting more power. I mean, it's kind of a live or die, blow you up quickly list, right? In that regard, right? And if it doesn't work early, it just doesn't work. But I think it's really fun, and I think the lore would be cool, and I think the models both on the table will get people to pop over to your table and see what's going on. You see Dormammu and Cosmic Ghost Rider flame heads on a team together, and all these vibrancy of their colors and the cosmic stuff nature going on. Amazing. But I think let's talk about one of his best places outside of his affiliations.
Okay.
We've kind of touched on the show a little bit over time, but it's in humans. It is. It's crazy.
Easy call. Too good.
Too good. I think honestly, in humans with Cosmic Ghost Rider, one of the better teams right now, if someone's really learned it. Now, how often do they play Cosmic Ghost Rider? That's more interesting. That's
where dependent. The learning comes in.
Yeah. Five threat leader to start off, but quickly said, passing him power at will, you can actually power him up through a round, make guarantee he goes last, and maybe he's just that super web warrior I talked about, where he moves, hell cycles, displaces two or three models, your opponents don't really score that round, right? And your Black Bolt and things like that continue to do what they do best, right? So I think that's an amazing place for him. But additionally, you could put him somewhere crazy like Winter Guard, and now he's not being staggered or stunned.
I think Winter Guard is a really good spot for him to keep him alive. So the rest of your team,
the bubble,
very defensive, bubble. You know, you're keeping the spikes from happening onto Cosmic Ghost Rider with your Crimson Dynamo. You're removing the stuns and the staggers so players like me can't deal with them the way they want to. And I think it's very powerful, but unfortunately, it's only very powerful into certain matchups.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd definitely be matchup and crisis dependent, right? Which all these are. But I do think any team that has like a tall leader can use him as a priority tool as well. So keeping that mindset going, like I think him with Sentinels is perfectly fine and scary, where it's just like, oh, we got a map up Main Street. Okay. Well, I'm playing Prime, Cassandra Nova, Cosmic Ghost Rider, and, you know, Winter Soldier or something, right? And it's like, what do you do like against that? Like, you were just being shot from range with so many rerolls, so much consistency. And then you've got things like Cassandra Nova and Ghost Rider that also have guaranteed displacement, right, as well. I think any team that needs a tall model, he can fit. So in that way, you could almost be like, you could try him in lists where you've thrown Hulk out there, right? I don't think he's better than, let's say, Hulk in Defenders. Like, Hulk is just better in Defenders, and he's affiliated, right? But if you wanted to play Defenders, whether it's under Doctor Strange or Daredevil, Marvel Knights Defenders with Cosmic Ghost Rider, you could.
Daredevil, especially on a on a tight map, getting all those rerolls for Cosmic would just be nuts.
The irony is, like, I think he starts to, as much as he likes tight maps because he can just choose his targets at will, I think similar to Malekith, amazing on tight maps, but maybe even better on wide maps, right?
Just because of the mobility. Absolutely. And you get to flex that part of the kit. Yeah.
You're just not taking him down on those maps, right? Where it's like Malekith was very similar. He can like double move to a side D point, remove a model, and he's going to do it again next turn, right? That wins you the game pretty consistently as well. Though it's less explosive, right? It's less like just roll dice in the middle and see what happens. But I also don't think he wants that. I don't think he wants to get cornered in the middle and get focus fired, right? And that's kind of his nightmare. He's not the most fragile model in the game, but he's certainly not super defensively consistent because he has no defensive dice modifications. He is just looking for those skulls, hopefully, you know.
You hope as the Ghost Rider pilot, yeah.
As the opponent, you hope he doesn't get it.
Yep.
I think those are his most notable teams. Obviously, he's one of these power pieces in the game right now where he could be played anywhere, but I definitely think those are probably the best places to give him a shot. And, you know, they just kind of work with his kit. This is not like a, let's say, a win more thing. This is like a, well, if I'm playing Cosmic Ghost Rider in humans, like, I'm just like Ulic within humans, where it's like, I am using that leadership to its highest potential to the character who wants to dump all the power he can every turn to have the most impact on the board. And I think he's really good in a team like that, you know?
I agree.
Perfect. The irony is, what's the simplest path in all this? Playing him in Guardians.
Of course it is.
Rerolls, simple play.
He's affiliated. It's just, it's everything he wants. It just makes sense.
Gives you a lot of agency and choice because you're like,
yes,
you get to see the dice and you're like, okay, yeah, I am going to reroll and look for a positive result. And I feel good about it with Cosmic Ghost Rider. So he's pretty scary because also he can use that Crew of the Milano card and drop his conditions.
So
which
gross.
Is just so absurdly scary. It's just so absurdly scary. So one of the ways you can deal with them, can't do it against the Guardians if they brought that card, right? So Cosmic Ghost Rider. Love him or hate him, he's here. He's an impressive model sculpting wise. And then we got this amazing card to back it up and this exciting lore. And, you know, these type of characters that I want to see more of in Marvel Crisis Protocol, Chris, where it feels out of left field at first, but then you're like, no, this makes perfect sense. Like, this is one of those things that just really works. And AMG's creative. Yeah.
They're extremely creative. And we've seen a lot of interesting powers and kind of power suites coming out recently. And some of we have not gotten on the table yet. So I'm very excited to see how this all kind of develops out for the rest of the year.
I agree.
Fury's Finest is supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a Fury's Finest patron by going to patreon.com/Fury's Finest.
Of course, you can find us everywhere online. Several spaces at Fury's Finest. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, and X at Fury's Finest Cast. Email us at furiousfinest@gmail.com, and you can leave us reviews on your podcast platform of choice. It really helps us out, especially if you're a Spotify or Apple user. Just pop over right now. Give us 5 stars. Would mean a lot.
Thanks to Approaching Nirvana for the show's music. And like Jesse said, please help spread the word, rate, review, subscribe, tell your MCP interested friends about us, I guess. I don't know. It all helps. It's all really good stuff. And we can't do this show without you guys, which is why we ask for this all the time, because we like doing the show.
Absolutely. Really means a lot, and you guys are keeping us going. Of course, you can find me and Chris several spaces online. You can find me, Jesse, all the same place, at Jesse Aiken. That's JesseEakin. That's X, Instagram, Discord, Longshanks. Though these days, it's mainly Discord and Longshanks. Check out my Star Wars Shatterpoint show. Hello there, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast, or wherever podcasts can be found. Give us a follow. Give us 5 stars there and join us in the new year in Shatterpoint. Chris, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Discord. I am Strong Style, one word. Chris Finest in any of the MCP related Discords I'm in. You can check out my NBA podcast, Orange Futures, on any podcast platform of your choice. Yeah, that's it. Feel free to hit me up. I love talking MCP.
Awesome. Well, it was really fun to return to the cosmic world with you guys, and I'm sure we will in the future, Chris. You know, we've got some stuff planned, but also I'm sure AMG will shock and surprise us as they always do every year with something exciting. But until next time, thanks for listening, true believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know. this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
10 bucks says you're wrong.